Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
But when it all, it all falls down, I'm telling you, it all falls down. But when it all,
y'all can't handle the truth.
Make it difficult for them to make the right choices. James 1, verse 14 to 15 reads, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Verse 15, "Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death." What are we to do? And how can we win against these enticing demons? Should we just give in? We welcome you to join us as we examine the scriptures to see what the Word of God says concerning these very serious issues. That is, if you can handle the truth.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Feels good to be back. We've been playing a couple of encores the last couple of weeks, so it feels real good to be back. All praise to the Most High, through His Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for tuning in to another edition to our show, Can You Handle the Truth? We're the brothers from the Body of Christ Church, and I'm your host today, and I'm Dawa Yud, and I got the brother Hashiyud with me.
Shalom, everybody. Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you.
All right, today's topic is going to be enticing demons. Enticing demons. This topic right here, all of us can relate to this topic about being enticed by demons. All right, those that came into the body of Christ, as far as reading the scriptures and understanding what the scriptures, the instructions that the Most High God gave us according to the Bible, instructs us to become holy, like the Most High God Himself is holy. Okay, and if we don't apply these scriptures, these demons will definitely come up out of us. So to fight this temptation off of us, we have to constantly read and study these scriptures to become who we need to become if we want to make it into His kingdom. To overcome trials and tribulations and to cast out these demons that's inside all of us. See, all of us have different lusts. All of us don't have the same lusts. How do you turn this down? This way or the other way? Sound like there's like a little echo or something. Alright, excuse me. So all of us don't have the same lusts. We all have different lusts inside of us. Okay, so Lord's will, today's topic will bring out a couple of examples of different lust that's out here and that's in all of us. And hopefully, we'll overcome this lust and make it to the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So with that, the first scripture we're going to go into is the scripture we had up in the chat room and what he just read. We're going to go to James chapter 1. So that's James chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 13. Start at verse 13.
All right, James 1 and 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed."
Stop there, brother. So, verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man." So I want you to look up the word tempted for me, or tempt. The reason why I want him to really explain, a lot of us might know what this word means, but some people might not know what it means to be tempted. Okay, so I really want to look it up and explain what the word tempted means, because so people can understand what it is and what it means to be tempted. And verse 14 also says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Basically, the next scripture kind of like defines what it really means, you know. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So if you don't mind reading that word, tempted, or tempt.
All right. Tempt means to entice, to do something wrong, to appeal strongly to.
Okay. So in other words, when you read verse 14, it says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So it's basically letting you know that, like we said earlier off air before we started the show, something that someone's attracted to, you know, something that's kind of like appealing to them and that would draw them to that. That's something that's, or someone that would be tempted by. Like, for instance, if a man walks by me and you right now, and but we understand that he is a gay man, all right, and he walks by us, and he's wearing tight clothes, and he's looking at us a certain way, trying to get our attention, will he attract us?
No.
No, he won't, because that was never my lust. Was it that ever your lust?
No.
No, it was never my lust either. So if he walks by me now, that's not going to attract me. That's not my lust. That's not going to bother me. But there's other people out there that have a problem with that. You know, that's their lust. There's some that probably overcame that out in the world and came into the body of Christ and overcame that homosexual demon. And when a man comes by them, you know, they might still have that lust inside them that they might have to fight that lust off. So everyone has a different lust inside them that'll draw their attention. But let a fine woman come walking by, you know, looking good and smelling good and very attractive. You know, that's a lust that's inside, that was inside of me when I was out in the world that I was attracted to. So if a woman walks by, there's a part of that flesh inside of me that still, you know what I mean, makes me feel attracted to that. So we have to control that lust inside of us not to fall victim to that lust and to be enticed and to be carried away by it.
Exactly.
You see? Let's read verse 14 one more time. Or actually read 13 and 14 together one more time.
1 James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his lust and enticed.
So stop there. So he's drawn away from his own lust. God ain't tempting him. Because you know how a lot of people say, God must be testing me right now. He's just testing me right now.
Yeah.
We hear that a lot. God's just testing me. Is that true according to what we just read?
No, that's false.
Exactly. Excuse me. So we understand that it's the lust inside of you. It's not God testing you. It's the lust inside of you that's drawing you to want to commit such acts that you must fight off. Read verse 15.
Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death.
So verse 15 says, then when lust has conceived, so that lust that was inside of you has formed. So it's going right back to that thought process that's forming in your head. Over and over, because if you keep thinking of it, because the scripture says the thought of foolishness is sin. So the more and more you meditate on these things, that's why the scriptures tell us when Christ came, he told us, even if you think upon looking upon a woman, you know what I mean, to lay down with this woman, that's, you already committed adultery already.
In your heart, yeah.
Exactly, because in your mind, you fantasize and having these thoughts. So if this opportunity arises, you're going to follow through with it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a tough thing. That's why a lot of people don't understand that these enticing demons are real. These spirits are real. In order for us to fight them off, we have to fight them off with the scriptures. You see, if we don't have the scriptures, how are we going to overcome the lust that's inside of you? How are we going to overcome it? It's impossible to overcome without the strength and the instructions of the Most High God through His Son Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures. We're going to come back and revisit. Actually, I'm gonna explain 15 a little bit before we move on and give a couple of examples. Then when lust has conceived, so when it formed in your mind and brings forth sin, now you committed sin. It conceived, the thought came through, you committed the sin, you committed the very act that you thought out in your mind, and sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. So we understand that sin, according to what we just read, it will bring forth death. So the wages of sin is death, according to the scriptures. So that's why, would you rather face death, or would you rather have eternal life, is the question. So are we to be enticed by these demons and give in to them? Or should we fight them off and overcome them and have eternal life? And that's basically the foundation of this topic today.
Yeah. It also reminds me of I was watching a video on YouTube a while back. This must have been about a year or two ago. Some of the people out in the listening audience might have saw this video of this pastor who was a homosexual,
mm-hmm.
and he tried to repent of being a homosexual,
mm-hmm.
but he said that the lust was too much for him, so he's waiting to see what God's going to show him because he couldn't do it.
Wow.
You know, so basically he's it reminds me of the scripture of that, I forgot that scripture in Titus that Brother Akurai had pulled it out last week on the show where it talks about being subverted.
Oh, yeah. You
want
to go to it?
No. Well, I was just making the point that to have a sin, any type of sin you have or any type of temptation you have is not going to be an easy thing to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
It might be one of the hardest things you ever do in your life is fighting that temptation. It's just like somebody, we always use this example of somebody being on drugs and trying to get off. It doesn't just go away.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of fighting on your part and a lot of determination to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just say that you can't do it, because now what you're saying is that the demon inside you has overthrown you.
Exactly.
You give it in. He won.
Mm-hmm.
He's too strong for you, and you're too weak. But you have to keep fighting. You have to keep praying. Pray for strength, fasting, the things the scriptures instruct us to do. For strength, fast, pray. And you have to keep fighting to the day you die. You better be fighting this demon, because your goal is to enter into eternal life, and you're not going to enter into eternal life as a fornicator. It's just against the rules.
Man, you're not going to make it. But see, somebody didn't give them the proper instructions. Even this dude you're talking about, this man you're talking about, he's waiting for God to show him. God already showed him according to scripture.
Exactly.
That this is why we have the topic we have today.
Yeah.
You have to fight that lust off, because God's not testing you, and God already gave you the instructions on how to overcome it. So what are you waiting for? It's just that it's hard for you to fight it off. But see, we all have something. See, you know what? This is the thing. Even us sitting here today, we have temptations, we have lust. We're not saying we're perfect. We're trying to overcome and become that perfect man daily, because we have issues too. But see, the thing is, we understand the remedy. We know where the solution is. We're not waiting for God to do nothing but have mercy upon us as we try to overcome exactly what we have to do according to scriptures.
Because he did show us it. Christ showed us. He gave us a perfect understanding on what we need to do to please the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't lay back and go back to our sins and say we're waiting to see what God's going to show us. He already showed us. That's why we repenting. That's why we fighting. We in this warfare.
Exactly.
The scripture said we fighting a warfare. Our warfare is not carnal, but spiritual. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that's the strongholds, these evil thoughts
mm-hmm.
and desires that we have within our flesh. And we have to fight it, and we have to be victorious.
Exactly. Or we're going to fall short into damnation. And this is what we're trying to avoid, hell, which a lot of people don't want to believe in, but it's there. All right, we're going to give a couple more examples according to scriptures. Let's go to Proverbs, and we'll probably revisit that scripture again. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to give a couple of examples according to the scriptures in dealing with this. All right. Proverbs chapter 1, start at verse 10.
Proverbs 1 and 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait blood. Let us look privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall not find all...
We shall
find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil.
Stop there. So, according to the first four scriptures here, how were they enticed when you really think about it? What enticed them? What attracted them? That's why God gave us a warning. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. So, what is it that Satan is using right now to entice them to commit such an act?
You know what that scripture made me think about, too? It made me think about King Saul. Because when the Most High command him to kill everything,
mm-hmm.
what caused him to want to keep the sheep mm-hmm. and the other the good meat, the good animals?
Exactly.
It was people.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing, because a lot of times in our life as people or respect of persons or trying to please men,
mm-hmm.
which you see a lot in this world, trying to please men or trying to please friends or buddies or whatever you want to call it, that cause people to do things that they probably wouldn't have done. So they're enticed by other people, by their peers.
Yeah, that peer pressure that, you know, like you said, don't want to be a sucker according to the so-called street code, and, you know, mm-hmm. don't want to, like be a chump or a punk or anything of that nature.
And another thing mm-hmm. is, mm-hmm. if you stop doing drugs and you hang around with people, the same people you used to hang around with when you used to do drugs, what's going to happen?
Eventually, you're going to give in to that temptation and do them drugs.
Because you're around the same sinners.
Exactly.
So part of the thing is getting away from the people that's going to try to entice you to do things that you know you shouldn't be doing.
Now, the key point is a great point what you pulled out, but there's another point that I see in this scripture, and I'm just going to give the answer. Read verse 13, brother. Proverbs 1 and 13.
We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil.
So this is how they were going to be enticed. All right. See, I grew up, you know, in the streets. I chose the streets as part of my life by any means necessary, doing all kind of wild things, which I'm not going to get into in detail. But the whole point is that as a young, wild teenager out on the streets or the blocks, right,
mm-hmm.
you're going to do things like the scripture is saying, if you're enticed the right way. Like, if you enjoy sticking up people and getting money and substance, gold chains and diamonds and a pocket full of money, you're going to roll with a crew like this.
Exactly.
Because it attracts you. It's enticing to you. You see? That's your demon. You see? But now when you come into the understanding of repentance through the blood of Jesus Christ, now when you overcame that, or you're supposed to have overcame that eventually, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you have, like you said, overcame that, why would you hang around that same crew again to be enticed again, knowing that that lust is still in you? Because it ain't going to go nowhere. It's still there. It's just that you have been channeling it a different way. You've been dealing with it according to scriptures. But if you take away your scriptures, how are you going to stand?
You can't
stand. Excuse me. So read verse 12 and keep reading down.
Proverbs 1 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil.
Mm-hmm.
Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird.
Mm-hmm.
And they lay wait for their own blood. They loop privately for their own lives.
Yeah, so they lurk privately for their own lives. Because they go. In other words, when you really sum all this up, they're hurting their own people. And this is what's really happening on the blocks of the streets today. We're hurting our own people. We're selling drugs to our own people. We're robbing and stealing from our own people. We have our own women on the street selling their bodies for money. Okay? So these things are only ruining our own people. So when you're throwing that net, remember it said in what verse was that net? Give me a minute. Verse 17, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. So they don't really care who it is they rob as long as they get some spoils. They don't really care who they rob as long as they get some money, something out of it. You know what I'm saying? So this is the crew. We understand there's a lot of groups of people. That's why we have all these gangs today on the streets. Because these are the individuals that Proverbs 1 is talking about. These gangbangers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
These brothers and sisters on the corner of these streets bringing our people down. So there's a lot of folks out there, a lot of people out there that are being enticed. Because our children every day, our teenagers, they're being enticed by such things.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we keep them away from the streets? You see? But we have to keep them away by the word of God. Because verse 10, read that one more time, verse 10, and we're going to move on.
My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not.
That's the whole point. If they entice you, consent thou not, meaning don't deal with them. We're not supposed to operate that way. Learn what God wants from you and don't operate that way. Like I said earlier, we all have things inside of us. That's why the scriptures tell you, is Christ not in you? Know ye not yourselves? You know that Christ is in you. So we have to make sure that we fight off that temptation that's inside of us, because you know yourself. You're supposed to know yourself better than anyone else. You should know yourself. Know you not that Christ is in you? You know, you have to make sure Christ is in you. You have to fight off that lust that's inside of you and keep it real. Because if you don't do that, how are you going to fight off any enticing spirits that's going to come your way? You know, that's one example. So I want to go to another example. Actually, you know what? Give me, let's go to another example. Give me Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. And at any time, brother, if you want to pull out any examples, you just pull them out.
6 and 1. Where you going?
Start at verse 23. Yeah, I bring my tissue in my... Proverbs 6 and verse 23.
For the commandments is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproof of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids.
Yeah, so verse 23 says, the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproof of instructions are the way of life. Now, if we were in a dark place, and it was very dark, wouldn't you want some light to come up out of that dark place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So according to the scriptures, that law is that light that's trying to get us out of that dark place that we're in. You see? And that previous scripture we read a little while ago, as far as being enticed by, so-called, or to be enticed, like we said earlier, about gang-banging or selling drugs or whatever the demon may be, the light, you're in darkness when you operate in that way. But the law would tell you, thou shalt not do these things. So that's the light that's trying to get you out of that dark place. So this is what the scriptures are saying. Verse 24 says, to keep thee from the evil woman. Because the scriptures are going to tell you not to deal with evil women. We're supposed to have a wife to ourselves, you know, and be straight with just that. Why are we dealing with another woman? Why would you want to commit fornication? But the whole world is operating in fornication.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so if that's the lust that's inside of you and you're enticed by a beautiful woman, you have to be careful according to the scriptures. This is another example of someone's lust that could be drawn away and you can lose your crown.
Let me add a scripture onto that.
Sure.
Proverbs 4. This is Proverbs 4:19.
Uh-huh.
Proverbs 4:19. It says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So when you look at somebody that's into wickedness, they just, you know, wickedness is just the way of life to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they doing evil, bad things are going on in their life, and they don't even understand what's going on and what they stumbling, because they don't have that lamp. They don't have the commandments of the Most High to guide them into the right path on how they're supposed to live their lives as an upright and righteous individual.
Mm-hmm.
So they doing all type of wickedness, because the only thing that's important to somebody like that, like the examples we pulling out, is money. They want more money so they can get more material things and look better and try to impress other people with material things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they care about. But when things are going on, when they're getting locked up or getting all type of tribulation in their life, they don't understand, you know, what's going on, because they don't have no guidance.
Yeah.
They don't have the commandments.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, on this verse, start at 14, on this chapter here, Proverbs 4 and 14.
Proverbs, 4 or 14?
Yeah, because I just read 4 and 19, but I want to go on top of it.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men.
So, like you know, we try to tell our children,
mm-hmm.
because when you're young, you see men doing things, you know, you get impressed by evil. You see the player, the pimp, the drug dealer, the hustler, them cats, you know, they got the nice clothes and things like that, and you get impressed by that.
Yeah, it turns
you on. Yeah, and you want to follow them because they got women, they talk loud, and, you know, those are the things that may look enticing to you, but the scriptures are letting us know that these men are evil.
Yeah.
And when you become for us, we've been young, and now we're older. We know that the individuals that were in school that were living what they'll say a simple life,
mm-hmm.
or going to school all the time, they're the ones that's more successful than the cats that we used to see on the streets. Because the cats we used to see on the streets and look up to, a lot of those guys went dead or in jail.
Yeah, their life expectancy isn't long.
Yeah. So we understand these things when you're older, but as a young man, when people are trying to tell you, you don't really understand it. That's why the scriptures is a perfect guidance, because the Most High is like a father that sees all things and try to warn us about the way we walk in and how to walk upright, so we won't be stumbling on things, and we'll understand if we do stumble on where our mistake is and how to avoid making the same mistakes, because the scriptures is that lamp that's guiding us into a perfect way of life.
Exactly.
All right, yeah, read that again for me.
Verse 14. Proverbs 4:14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men.
So when you see sinners, we shouldn't be designed to follow them, or design the things they have, or design the things they want.
Exactly.
Right, you know?
Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall.
Mm.
For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. Keep going?
Yeah.
But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more to a perfect day.
So you know, we see that in our own lives, like when the scriptures talk about these, I know for myself, man, when I was into all types of wickedness, sometimes I have a hard time sleeping without doing something, you know, without committing fornication or getting drunk, getting high, doing some type of foolishness.
Yeah.
I had to be out there doing something stupid.
Yeah, I can't go to sleep yet. I ain't do nothing yet. I ain't do nothing today. I ain't fulfill my day, my night. How am I going to go night-night yet? I can't go to sleep yet. I got to go find me some kind of chick to lay with or something. I got to go do something, start some trouble or something.
But when you start repenting and start fighting these demons off, you get stronger and stronger in repenting. That's why mm-hmm. the scriptures say that the path of the just is a light that gets brighter, that shines more and more to that perfect day, because as you start to repent and start to learn more things and start to apply more things,
mm-hmm.
then the righteous walk becomes more easier, and you get more stronger,
mm-hmm.
and you grow more righteous, you know, through the grace of the Most High in Christ.
Exactly.
All right, you know?
Verse 18 and 19. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into a perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble.
So why would we want to follow somebody that's in darkness?
Don't make no sense.
And that's what a lot of people do. That's what we do sometimes, you know, when we
mm-hmm.
have no understanding, we follow somebody that's in darkness, being impressed at vain things. When what we're supposed to be following is the commandments of the Most High and fighting off these enticing demons.
And that's the whole point. And that's like being trapped in a cave where it's just dark as hell. You can't even get out. And all of a sudden, you're starting to see some light, because that's what you're looking for, some light to get up out of this hellhole I'm in. But see, you're not really looking at, you know, that it's saying the same thing as far as your sins is concerned. You're in darkness when you're committing adultery. You're in darkness when you commit fornication, homosexual acts, idolatry. You know what I'm saying? You're in darkness and you need light. You're going to be stuck in that hellhole, that pit, that hell, that damnation. That's why repentance was granted, so you can see the light, because that light is Christ through the laws, through Christ, to be forgiven for your sins and to now follow the light.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. And that darkness is like the scripture said, it's evil. It's
mm-hmm.
sin. You basically being a servant of Satan.
Exactly. So since you said that, go to Proverbs 10. I just want to read this one scripture to add to it. 10:23.
Okay, Proverbs 10:23.
Mm-hmm.
It is as sport to a fool to do mischief.
Drop beer. So it's a sport to them to commit such evil acts. What we just said today, a little while ago, you can't get no sleep until I, you know, commit such wicked acts.
Yeah.
You know, it's a sport to them. When we were kids, you know, we were just playing ball. I wasn't trying to make it to the NBA or the NFL. We was having fun. Yo, grab the ball. Yo, we're going to meet up in the field and play a little bit of ball, man. You know, it was fun. Yeah, I can't wait, man. We're going to have so much fun after school today. You just want to go play some ball. It's a sport. It's something to do to make fun, you know, to have fun. And this is what these dudes do when they get up every day. This sell drugs to them as a sport. You know, the stick-up kids is a sport. You know, let's go stick up. I wonder who we're going to get today. Yo, yeah, let's go. We got to move on somebody today, man. That's a sport to them to commit such wicked acts. Yo, yo, homie, you know, yo, his girl, man, she keep giving me the eye, man. I'm about to smash that. So it's a sport to you to commit such acts, you know. It's fun to you how many women you done laid with all week. You know, you went bar hopping, you done got three women that night. It's a sport to you. Nah, we supposed to be grounded in the scriptures and be instructed by that. We can't take wickedness as a sport and roll in that kind of spirit, brother. That's an awful spirit to roll in, which we were part of. We were part of that spirit. And some of that lust might still tempt us to come out of us. But that enticing demon is very dangerous because you could lose your crown of life if you tamper with it and focus on it and meditate on it. It could ruin you and it could destroy you. So read Proverbs 10:23 again.
It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding has wisdom.
Yeah, because on the flip side of that, we have wisdom because it tells us how to operate now.
Exactly.
We're not going to do that no more. You see, I'm not going to gang bang no more. I'm not going to be a stripper no more. I'm not going to be a drug dealer no more. You know, I'm not going to be a pimp no more because wisdom has been granted to us. You know, mercy through wisdom and understanding, and now we see the light. We were in darkness. We were fools. This is why it's important for us to teach these scriptures so we can teach those out there that are in darkness and those out there don't realize they're committing such wickedness and it became such a sport to them that it became the norm. And they don't even realize that they're sick. You people are sick and you need a doctor, and the doctor is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's the key thing you're saying there. When we come into the gospel of Christ, we have to understand that we are in need of a physician.
Exactly.
Every one of us that come into the knowledge of Christ, we are in need of a physician, because the way we've been taught to think and the things we've been doing in this world is against God.
Mm-hmm.
And for somebody to come in and say that there's no law, the laws are done away with, they really don't understand what they're dealing with. You know, they really don't understand. We are sick, man. You come out of this world, you're sick.
Because
what the scriptures say, the whole world does what? Is to serve Satan. The whole world lies in wickedness. So if you were in the world, you were dealing with wickedness.
Yeah.
Now you got to learn how to change, make that change. And it's not an easy change, but you got to learn how to make that change from walking and operating as a children of darkness to operating as a children of light. You know, and you cannot do that without the word. And there's going to be demons on you trying to bring you back into being a son of darkness.
Yeah,
there's going to be spirits moving on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is your lust, like the scripture tells. Your lust is going to try to get you back into that dark world.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the scriptures tell us in Ecclesiasticus and the Apocrypha, if you come to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation.
Exactly. Because the enticing demons, you know, it keep calling me and calling me and calling me, because that's what it is. It's like that drug keep calling you, you know, that crack calling you, you know, that heroin calling you. You know, that's how come even in the 12 steps, you know, of them overcoming their drugs according to this world, how they got set it up, the 12 steps to overcome, you know, alcohol or drugs or whatever like that. No, intervention and the true steps is right here in this Bible, you see. But that's how come even in those sessions, when they have those sessions, what do they normally say? You know, hi, my name is so-and-so. I've been clean now for 3 weeks. And then it goes on to carry on to, yo, I've been clean now for 9 years. Then you got some people, right, that go backwards. Because why do they say I've been clean now for 9 years? Because they know it's an ongoing fight to the day they die.
Exactly.
Because they got to overcome and keep fighting off that calling. Because sometimes it's going to pop up out of nowhere, that old man saying, yo, man, I need me a drink. This, you know, my wife just got on my nerves, or my wife just left me. So you're going to be comforted by that old comfort zone. Let me go back to what I know. I got to throw back a couple, you know, to make me feel better. I got to sniff some cane to make me feel better. No, because that was the old you. Mm-hmm. You got to stay clean. You can't let nothing, you know, separate you from the love of God, you know, and go back into that enticing demon, because it could take you out.
Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, we at the Body of Christ Church, we focus on repentance, because when you look at that scripture that we usually read in Ephesians, where it talks about the works of the flesh,
mm-hmm.
The hatred. We come out of the world, we have these things in us. We have hatred.
Exactly.
So how long have you not dealt with hatred? Like, it's like that addiction.
Yeah.
That anger.
Mm-hmm.
How you deal with your anger?
Yeah.
You know, that vengeance or bearing, you know, you got to get somebody back. You got to get even with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, there's so many things that's within us that we have to clean to walk in the image of Christ that we don't have time. Like a lot of brothers, you see them, look at the YouTube sites. A lot of these Israelite churches are dealing with calling the white man the devil and
mm-hmm.
being on the street wearing a potato sack with fringes on it and things mm-hmm. of that nature. What about the demons within you that you got to deal with?
They're not dealing with that.
Yeah. What about the fornication?
They're embracing fornication.
Yeah, what about the hatred?
They're embracing that.
These are things that Christ told us we have to deal with, man. These mm-hmm. are the things that defile a man. So we have to focus on these things, man, because these things are trying to take our crown from us. These are the enticing demons that try to take our crown from us and keep us from entering into the kingdom of heaven. So we have to prepare ourselves and then prepare others on how to deal with these spirits that's on us and that's keeping us from performing the things that the Heavenly Father wants us to perform, which is works of righteousness.
Exactly. Because that enticing demon, like you're saying, Lord's will, you know, before the show ends, Lord's will go to a couple of scriptures on dealing with idolatry and the glory of man, because that's basically, that is what you're saying. You know, these Israelite groups and also Christianity and all these different gods out here that they serve, and they got men set up, Satan got men set up, you know, preaching his word, and it's an enticing demon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's enticing you to serve idolatry. You know, Satan made it attracting for you to gravitate towards that church. You see, because it's a church of Satan, but he's got to make it attractive for you to come see him. He's not going to say, hello, hi, check me out, I'm Satan. It doesn't work that way. He's going to attract you. That's why you got churches set up today. You got these gays and lesbian churches that are set up, and they have them set up in Christ's name. What the heck is that? The scriptures tell us that this can't be.
Yeah.
It cannot be. The judgment of that is death, man. When Christ comes back, your judgment, your sentence is going to be death. You have to repent through the blood of Christ in order to have eternal life. You can't put Christ's name on something that when he comes back to judge you is going to be death. But it's attracting to those that if that man want to marry a man, I'm going to go to that church. You see? Because
they understand.
Yeah, they understand what it is that who I am and who I want to be. But no, that's that enticing demon in you that's attracting you to go to that church and then thinking that it's okay to operate the way you operated and you still want to make it to heaven. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen, people. So that's why it's important to understand what church am I in? What understanding of Christ is in this church that I'm in? So I can make it to eternal life. That's why it's important to read the scriptures and find out what is sin. And it's always going to bring you to the law. The law is not kryptonite. The law is not poison. The law is what you need. We read it earlier. You're in the form of darkness. The law is what's going to get you out of darkness. So how can you avoid the laws of God? If you avoid them, I promise you, brothers and sisters, you are going to die in your sins, period. Because you don't understand that you have to see what it is that you're doing wrong and how it is you became sick. You now need medicine. You need that remedy to come up out of that sickness, or you're going to die in your sickness.
Yeah.
So this is for all of us. When we preach this word, we're preaching it to one another. When we preach this word, we're talking to ourselves and reminding ourselves that we have to be aware of this enticing demon that's inside of us and make sure that we don't allow it to ruin us. You know? You want to say anything? Maybe we should go to a break. You want to pull out something?
Like 5 more minutes.
Okay, cool. You want to pull out anything else?
No.
All right. All right, so let's move on. Give me a minute. But I definitely want to deal with some of that idolatry since we kind of like went into it. But let me finish out with Proverbs chapter 6. Go back to Proverbs 6 one more time and read verse 25.
duplicate. Proverbs 6:25.
Mm-hmm.
Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids.
Now, I'm going to tell you straight up. I mean, you can speak whatever it is you want to speak, but I'm going to talk about myself. When I was out in the world, if a woman give me that look, you see, and she's a beautiful woman, and she give me that look, oh, I'm going to definitely approach her, and we're going to exchange numbers, and we're going to hook up. Because that's the spirit that I once rolled in. I'm not going to let her get away from me. You know, looking that good and appealing to me, this is what I need. Because that's what your flesh is yearning for. So I'm going to definitely snatch that, you see?
You're not going
to
let that opportunity go by.
You can't let it go by. You know, you can be like a sucker letting it go by because, like, part of your flesh is telling you, you got to go, you got to have that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you got to have it. So lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. I was guilty of that because I've been taken by eyelids many a night. But now, when we see, because I was in darkness, but now that we got the laws of God, it's making me to be aware of such of a hoe like this, such of a whore like this, because that's what she is. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Because just because she's a beautiful woman doesn't mean nothing. How many beautiful women we know out here now that got AIDS? Come on, it's all over the world. Just because you're beautiful don't make you so special.
Beautiful on the outside and ugly as hell on the inside.
Exactly. That's why it's dangerous, right? Give me, go to the next chapter and start at verse 4. Proverbs 7 and 4.
Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman.
Mm-hmm. I'll stop there for a minute. So, it's funny how, when you see here, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. So, it's letting you know that the laws of God is family. We're family. Mm-hmm. So, without the laws of God, you're separating yourself from family. Because the laws is part of your family. That's something that is part of you. It's part of your tradition. It's part of your livelihood. Your lifeline. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So read verse 5.
That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattered with her words.
Because she's not part of this family. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She's not. The laws and the commandments she doesn't know. You're accustomed to supposed to stay in the family of God, right? And follow the statutes and laws and commandments that God has given us through the mercy of Jesus Christ so we can overcome our lust. Now here comes this strange woman that's contrary to the family, right? Be aware of her and don't deal with her. She's not family. So you got to be careful. We got to be careful. That's why scriptures always talk about, you know, cast out that eye or cut off and sever that leg or that arm, you know, because the whole member can be defiled by such acts of, you know, of sin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we got to be careful about the family. We got to be very, very conscious and conscientious about what's going on around us and keep an eye on what's going on one another to help us make it into the kingdom. Because when you care for your family, you're always going to be there for your family. You're going to warn your family and you're going to love your family. And that's what it's all about. So the laws of God is trying to keep us away from such an evil act. So, you know, you won't be tempted and overcome by that demon, which a lot of men have fell, according to the scriptures. We read many stories of great men that fell because of the beauty of that woman.
And like the scriptures say, they know not at what they stumble, because
mm-hmm.
they think it's something that they're supposed to go get. You know, I heard men that's supposed to be in the gospel speak about, you know, so-called Israelite groups, one of the prominent leaders out there saying that, man, I'm not no sucker. If a woman put it onto me, I'm going to go get it.
I'm going to take it. I ain't gay. I'm going to take it. But, of course, they're using other words. I'm just trying to play it safe.
So, obviously, that person's walking in darkness because he don't know what he's stumbling at.
Because
he's not taking heed to what the word is saying concerning that.
Exactly.
Concerning fornication.
So, with that, we're gonna get ready to take a break. So, we'll be right back.
This is the Body of Christ Church inviting you to listen to our new program, From Darkness to Light, where we examine and reprove spiritual wickedness in Today's World. The show airs every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. So remember the words written in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day.
If you've enjoyed today's program and you live in the Atlanta area, we invite you to view our public access television program. For Fulton County, please tune into Body of Christ on People TV, Channel 24, every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. or for DeKalb County on Comcast Channel 25, every Monday at 2 p.m. And now back to today's show.
The brothers from the Body of Christ Church welcome you to listen to our show, Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor?, airing every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. In these difficult times, we often look to spiritual leaders for guidance and instruction in our lives. As Christians, followers of Christ, should these leaders speak from their mind or from what is written based on the Word of God? This show will examine things said by men and women claiming to be God's ministers to reveal whether or not they are speaking God's word and doing His will. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We hope you tune in and listen to our show. Thank you.
Some people want to be saved, but they don't know how to behave. And when they go to church, they don't listen to what the preacher's saying.
The Body of Christ Church invites you to listen to all our programs on Blog Talk Radio. These programs are meant to edify the listener regarding repentance and good works according to the Holy Scriptures. The weekly program schedule is Sunday at 2 p.m., Tuesday at 8 p.m., Wednesday at 7 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m., and Saturday at 9 a.m., all Eastern Standard Time. Our Spanish broadcast is at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time each Saturday at blogtalkradio.com/ICDC. Please accept our invitation to call in to our show at 646-716-7749. Your comments or questions are eagerly encouraged, whether they agree or disagree with the viewpoints expressed by those involved in the program. Again, call in now, please dial 646-716-7749.
Thank you for tuning back in. Can you handle the truth? And today's topic is enticing demons. I really enjoy this class today dealing with enticing demons, because this is something that also is a reminder. It's like a reality check, you know, to examine yourself and to see what it is inside of you that you got to keep it real with. You know, what's wrong with you? You know, it could be anger. It could be sexual lust. It could be stealing, killing, murdering, gang banging, whatever that lust may be inside of you. But now we have to check it. So it's a constant spiritual battle and a constant spiritual reality check as far as keeping it real with yourself in the eyes of God, and basically make sure that you don't fall back into darkness. And continue to walk in the light of Christ through the laws that were given to us through Christ. You know, and we went through a couple of examples, and Lord's will, we can continue with dealing with other examples to bring out more clarity in dealing with enticing demons, and especially idolatry, which we were talking about earlier, about being enticed by certain preachers or pastors. that, you know, you got certain churches that are set up that you would be gravitated to out in the world because of the lust that's inside of you. So you're going to follow that, you know, idolatry, you know, as far as like Christmas or Easter, Thanksgiving, homosexuals, you know, things of that nature. You know, you're going to gravitate to that church because they accept you and they accept what it is you enjoy. So that's also a form of enticing demons, because it's a demon when you want to serve paganism. You know, you want to serve pagan roots and festivals and feasts that's you know, given in honor of other gods. You know, that's a demon. So you're being enticed by it because you enjoy it. You know, so with that, without further ado, I'm going to pass it to House Boogie to, you know, if you want to pull out a couple of scriptures, then I'm gonna add to it.
Yeah, that's a real good point too, because the thing is, like we notice a lot when we come into the gospel of Christ, Christ has showed us how we have to change. We have to become a new person in Him. A lot of people out there are teaching doctrines, and like for example, we hear a lot of Israelite groups. They make the whole gospel about being an Israelite. But they don't deal with the things we have to do with ourselves as individuals. We have to deal with the man in the mirror. We have a lot of Christian groups. They talk about the laws are done away with. They make the gospel of Christ into a bunch of different things that is not really what the gospel is talking about, what the focus is. The focus is and always has been repentance and dealing right. You know, how we deal with our brothers and sisters, how we deal with our neighbors. That's what the focus has always been. And people are making the gospel into a lot of different things, but they're not dealing with the man inside. They're not dealing with the evil thoughts, the evil habits that they have. They continue to walk in the same way that they walked before they even knew about the gospel of Christ. So while you get the scripture you're looking for, I want to read Colossians, the third chapter. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." So when we come into the gospel, we're supposed to be seeking for the things above. We're supposed to be seeking for spiritual things. We ain't supposed to be that same carnal man going after the lust of our flesh and giving in to demons. And the enticing demons, when you look at the term, like you read about entice means to tempt. If you're still doing the same old things, you're not even being tempted. You're just still flowing the way you're flowing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come in and you're repenting, that's when you really got to deal with temptation now, because now you're trying to fight that old man. Now you're fighting that old man, and you're trying to do those things that are pleasing to the Father in Christ. So this is Colossians 3 and verse 2 says, "Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth." Because that's the old man. The old man's affections were in things on the earth.
Yeah.
And now he made that. Now he's repenting in Christ. Those demons are trying to get his affection back on things on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Like you was talking about the women. Those are things your affection is on. Your lust is on. The women, the money, material things.
Mm-hmm.
Following the old boys, the old crew, doing the old things you used to do. You being enticed to go back to that old man.
Mm-hmm.
But the scriptures are showing us that, no, we have to become a new creature. All right, verse, I'm going to read that again. 3 and 2 says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Verse 5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Now the word mortify means to deaden.
Mm-hmm.
So is that going to be an easy process to make our members upon the earth dead to the things that we used to love to do?
No, it's going to be very hard. You know, like you said earlier about those, we always use that same, you know, symbolic breakdown as far as someone being on drugs.
Yeah,
you know, it's a hard thing to dead something that you enjoy so much. You enjoy smoking crack. It's something that you enjoy. People lose their house, their lives, their jobs. You know, they degrade themselves for that form of substance. You know what I'm saying? and it took them out. So they enjoy it, obviously, or they wouldn't be behaving the way they're behaving. You got certain women that's selling their bodies, you know what I'm saying, for that substance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a hard thing to overcome that because you brought yourself so low to even do that. You know it's hard
mm-hmm.
to overcome that. So, but it could be done through the power of God.
Exactly.
See, the power of God is real. It could overcome that embarrassment. It could overcome you losing everything and still have faith in the Most High God to, you know, to hang in there and be patient and have that strength through the blood of God, through the blood of Jesus.
And the scriptures speak about the deceitfulness of sin.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see the, when you're trying to break the yoke of sin from off your neck, there's going to be thoughts arising in your head to try to get you back into that old man. It's going to try to bring pull you back.
Yeah.
It might even make you think that something's good about it. You know, there's all types of thoughts that's going to come in your head to try to make you go back into being that old demon and to be a servant of Satan. So those enticing demons are going to keep coming at you. They're going to keep coming at you.
Well, how do you kill that?
Let me read verse 5 again.
I'll read it. Colossians 3 and 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
And they all fall right back on the covetousness, because covetousness, like Paul says in Romans 7, he said, I have not known lust unless the law has said thou shalt not covet.
Uh-huh.
So, and that's what we read in James, the first chapter, where it talks about every man is drawn away when he's drawn of his own lust, which is the same thing as covet. You covet something. You want to do it. And the reason why the scriptures tell us covet, which is as idolatry, because you know what the scriptures say. You know that you're in Christ. You're not supposed to be committing fornication, but yet you do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that tell that you're running after have became a god to you, because you obeying that lust instead of obeying the Heavenly Father in Christ.
So it became that idol.
That's how it became an idol.
Yeah.
Or you want that money so bad that you're going to go ahead and be with sinners, like the scripture read in Proverbs. Don't go in the way of the path of wicked.
Mm-hmm.
But you want that money and you want that nice car so bad that you're going to go in the path of the wicked.
Yeah.
You're going to go lurk for the innocent and go take his money and stuff like that. So that car that you wanted or that clothes that you wanted has became an idol to you.
Exactly. And that's why people don't understand the form of idolatry. They think it has to be a freaking image, you know, of an animal or image of a human or, you know. No, it doesn't have to be an image in front of you. You put on your knees and lighting candles and putting your hands up. It doesn't have to be like that to be an idol. You see, drugs can be an idol. Clothes can be an idol. Money can be an idol. A woman could be an idol. A man could be an idol. You see, these things could become your idol. Your enticing demons inside of you becomes your idol.
All right, read on that one.
All right, so what are we at? Verse 6?
Yeah.
For which things, I'll read verse 5 again. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience.
So that's why the flood came on the earth.
Yeah.
That's why judgment is coming again on the earth. So how are we going to say we in Christ and we still walking in these things? Then the wrath of God is going to come upon us also.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to mortify our members. We have to deal with these enticing demons. All right, read on to that, please.
Yeah.
I want to pull out a little more on that.
Let's keep going. Verse 7. And in which ye also walked sometime when ye live in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth.
So there's a lot of things we need to focus on. There's a lot of enticing demons. All these are enticing demons. You know, once we get the understanding that we can't be doing these things and we find ourselves going back into them, those are enticing demons. These are things that's pulling us away from the covenant of the Most High, pulling us away from getting our crown. You know, these are things we need to be focusing on, not standing on the street cursing people out.
You know what's so heavy about the scripture? It opens up so many different doors, because You know, and a lot of these churches, they're wasting their time, you know, because they're not focused on what you need to be focused on. They're focused on giving money to their pastor. They're focused on speaking in tongues. You see, they focus on, you know, giving so much that they're not focused on looking at yourself in the mirror and getting rid of those demons that's inside of you. You know, you're wasting your time. Even the prayer sessions, you know, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that prayer isn't part of what God gave us. But a lot of these people believe that if you continue in your sin, the scriptures tell you he's not hearing your prayers. You can fast all you want. He's not receiving the sacrifice you just committed because you're not looking at yourself to get rid of these enticing demons that's inside of you. So you're doing all that in vain. That's why we got to be focused on what's important. And like you said a little while ago, these black Hebrew Israelites on the corner of the streets, they're focused on man's glory. They're focused on, you know, being head honcho and being top dog, how many years I've been in, and, you know, I'm over you. I mean, that's a bunch of foolishness, man. You know, and they're focused on, like you said, they focus on if I'm on a corner and I'm yelling and screaming and doing all this, I'm doing the Lord's will. Well, no, you still commit fornication. You still teach your hatred. You know, you still, you know what I mean, having authority over men, exercising authority over men, which the scripture tells us not to do. So you are not focused on the right things. You focus on the wrong things.
Some of the things they're doing is right here in verse 8.
Yeah.
But now you also put off all these. Anger.
Mm-hmm.
You see that on those videos?
You can't turn on a YouTube site with some of these black Hebrew Israelites without seeing anger. It wouldn't be part of their show. It wouldn't be them if they weren't angry.
Wrath. Do we see wrath? Malice.
Order.
We see malice? Yeah, we see malice.
Mm-hmm. Blasphemy. We see that too.
Filthy communication.
Constantly.
Talking about raping an 11-year-old girl, isn't that filthy communication?
That's awful, man.
That's terrible communication, man.
That's awful.
All right, read over.
Yeah. So it says verse 9.
Yeah, I'm going to read down to 10.
That's fine. Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him.
That's bringing us right back to Adam. That image isn't talking about a physical image, but that new man, putting on that new man, is talking about your character. You know, the things you're doing.
Exactly.
After the image of Christ, because Christ and the Father were righteous. They're righteous. You know what I'm saying? They're not evil. And the laws is directing us on how to be righteous.
Exactly.
That's why a lot of people are falling off the horse at, man. It's about your character, what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Most High is looking at. Your works. Is your works the works of a righteous individual? Because that's what the Most High called us into righteousness. He called us into honor, into virtue. He didn't call us to be evil and wicked men.
But a lot of people are enticed to believe that.
Mm.
They're attractive to certain leaders out there, and like you said, their lust. They're attracted. That's what it boils down to. They're attracted to their lust.
Yeah.
Because nobody's making them do nothing. They're attracted to that. They're attracted to their lust.
That's why verse 5 is key, man, where it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, which is going to all sin, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness. That's the key. And covetousness, which is idolatry. And all sin falls right back under covetousness.
Yeah, it does.
Which is idolatry.
Because any sin that you're committing and you continue to commit, which is idolatry. You know what I mean? So that's just that in a nutshell. Let's go to Psalms 37 real quick. Because I wanted to hit this too as part of my example. Because you kind of basically hit... You nailed it. You murdered the idolatry thing already. So, you know, I might go to one. This is still going to fall underneath idolatry anyway, where I'm going. So, Psalms 37 and read verse 1.
Okay. Fret, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity.
Yeah, because this whole world is trying to keep up with the Joneses. This whole world is trying to become rich overnight. It even reached the churches now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to where if you're not making money, you know, God's not dealing with you. You're doing something wrong if you're not getting paid. You know, because God is going to what, according to these churches? The more you give, the more you shall receive. And receive it with interest. You know, it became a business in the churches today. All right? So I'm going to go to that after. But fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now I want to deal with this before I deal with these churches. Now, we said earlier, we talked about the first scripture we went into, as far as the examples was concerned, about being enticed by these men that were going to basically stick up individuals or harm people or kill people for their substance. All right. We can't fret, meaning worry, about how these individuals got their money and be jealous over them because they live in large. Because a lot of people out here today are living large over evil acts that they're committing. Drug dealers, are they not living large? We got people in these different countries that's kidnapping people and selling them to other people and making them slaves. Are they not living large? You see, we have a lot of different people today that are being robbed with the so-called structure of this government that's robbing you blind in stocks or bonds or whatever it is. Are they not living large? But yet, we getting the dirty end of the stick. You know, we're living basically check to check while they're rich. But just because they're rich, we got celebrities, we got athletes, all these people living large, we should not be envious over them. We should not be jealous of the way they're living according to the Most High God. This is what the scripture is saying. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So we should not be jealous about their money that they have. Okay? You want to say something before I move on? All right. I don't want to read more on that because I'm just drag it out. But go to 1 Timothy. I want to hit this because it even entered the churches. You know, and I just want to deal with it because it goes right back to idolatry again. Because a lot of people are not realizing that you're serving idolatry in these churches. And this is one of the forms of idolatry right here, which we're talking about, all right? So 1 Timothy chapter 6, start at verse 5.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
1 Timothy 6 and 5. Perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth.
Because these people are destitute of the truth. Destitute meaning poor. So they're poor concerning faith. They're poor concerning the scriptures. They don't really understand. All right, read on.
Supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself.
So, this is why you got to look at yourself, right? And if you're in a certain church, because the book of Timothy, right? When you read the book of Timothy, right? Paul is giving instructions on how a church is set up. Isn't that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, when we're reading this scripture, he's saying, supposing that gain is godliness, from such, withdraw thyself. Letting you know, in the church of God, we're not supposed to be teaching that gain is godliness. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. So why is the whole world as we know it now, Christianity as a whole, are they not teaching that gain is godliness, brother?
Yeah.
So this is why you have to examine yourself, you know, those out there in the world that are in such churches that are teaching this madness. You have to repent because you're in a place that is not of God, even though they got Christ's name up there. Because they're teaching that gain is godliness, man. And this is something that is not supposed to be set up in the church of God. Read it one more time, brother, please. Verse 5. 1 Timothy 6 and 5.
Perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such turn away. From such withdraw thyself.
Same thing, turn away. So guess what? What are these people out here in the world today? If they're Paul sending a letter to Timothy, all right, instructing those that if you're in such a place like this, withdraw yourself from that place. This is what the word of God is saying. Paul is saying this right here in the scriptures, man. So if you're that somebody that's in the church that is teaching that game is godliness, you're supposed to get up and leave that church.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the word of God is saying, man. It's that simple. But see, you've been enticed by the demon that's inside of you, so it's attracting you to be in a church like this because they're teaching that gain is godliness. The more you give, the more you shall receive. So that attracts you. So I'm going to go in here because, I'm going here. This is the best investment I can make, baby. I'm investing in God, and God's going to make me rich. Because you're attracted to that, you know, that lifestyle. You're attracted to that teaching, and they got Christ's name up there. I'm all set. I'm already one. I'm going to that church because that's my lust. But see, people, you have to read these scriptures for yourself to realize, am I in such sin as that? Is that really me? Okay, don't think for once that the word of God is lying. You can't take this scripture and make it sound like that it's not saying that. All right? Read verse 6.
But godliness with content is great gain.
Yeah, so we're supposed to be content with what we have, and meaning that we're not supposed to be teaching that gain as godliness, but be content with what we have already, and just follow the scriptures.
Yeah. And the key thing, too, it says, but godliness. Godliness is going to us being righteous, following Christ, being walking in that image of Christ, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So if we're doing that with contentment is great gain. So the key point is repenting and becoming godly, becoming righteous, and being content with what we do, such things that we are blessed with.
And this is a beautiful precept because it's saying, I want to go to this, there's a precept here, I want to go to it. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. I use this scripture a lot, but boy, does it really fit with what we're talking about. And the thing is that the whole topic we talked about today is really going to be summed up basically in the scripture. Read 1 Timothy 4 and 8.
For bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come.
Now, this is a heavy scripture.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, because everything we talk about today, all the idolatry, you know, the fornication, adultery, homosexual acts, you know what I'm saying? Killing, stealing, murdering, pimping, hoeing, whatever. Whatever your lust was, doing drugs, snorting drugs, shooting up drugs, I don't care what drug it is. We're supposed to now get rid of that old man, put on that new man. Now, in order to put on that new man, it's like going into the gym. You came in weak. You had no muscles. But now you want to turn that fat into muscle. Or them bones into muscle. You know, you skinny, you want to get muscle. Whatever the case may be, you want to work out. Now, when you first go into the gym, you're not used to it yet. You're going to be weak. And then you're going to be a little sore. You're not used to the routines. But the more and more you go to that gym, we all know, especially you get a trainer or you get someone to help you out and instruct you and teach you how to eat better, diet better, you know what I'm saying, exercise, when to eat, how to eat, all that good stuff, you're going to develop muscle and you're going to look good. It's the same thing with the Word of God. The Word of God, according to the Scriptures, the more and more you exercise the Word of God, the more and more you're going to become strong. You're going to become that new creature. You're going to spiritually have muscles. Okay, that's going to look good. You're going to be a new person and strong in the Word of God. And this is how you become godly and content. Okay, you're not worried about being focused on being rich. No, you're focused on having those spiritual muscles, putting in the work. People don't want to put in the work. That's why even today's time, you got these people that are overweight. And a lot of time, I like to use this word, the word I always use all the time, this phrase, they want instant gratification. Everybody wants to be slim overnight. So they take pills, supplements, operations. They want to get rid of the fat and look lean overnight. A lot of people don't want to go to the gym and put in the work. And it's the same thing with the will of God. Nobody wants to read the scriptures, look at the mirror in the mirror, and stop committing fornication. It's too hard for them. You see what I'm saying? They don't want to stop committing fornication. They don't want to stop being a homosexual. They don't want to stop killing and stealing and murdering and things of that nature. They want an instant change, so they want to go to a church to feel good. They don't want to put in the work and look at themselves and realize that they're sick and to work on themselves. So they want an easy remedy. And that's what's wrong with a lot of people in these churches today. They want an easy remedy. So they don't want to deal with the scriptures and repentance, because repentance is the key. Just like the brother Abijah got to show, repentance is the key, which airs on Friday. So the whole thing is, repentance is the key to eternal life. But a lot of people don't want it, though. They talk a good one, but it's too hard for them to fight that lust inside of them. I see you thinking about something, too, over there. Let's go back to 1 Timothy 6 and read verse 7.
I want to read that verse again, man. Verse 6.
Well, read it again.
What was that, 4 and 8, right?
Yeah, 1 Timothy 4 and 8.
For bodily exercise profit little, but godliness, which is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So it's not only, it's showing you that godliness, it doesn't only benefit you after you die, but it benefits you right now.
Right now.
You know what I'm saying? There's great rewards in walking in the commandments of God in Christ, walking in the image of Christ and the examples of Christ. There's great rewards in this life because your family structure is a better structure. Your children are being instructed on how to be walk upright. You know, the things that you used to do, the wicked things that you used to do, you don't do no more. So you're more of an honorable person now. You're more of a dignified man. Matter of fact, you know how to be a man now. You wasn't really a man before. You was a little boy.
Exactly.
Trying to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just great reward in walking in the knowledge of the Most High. It's great blessings and rewards.
Exactly. Let's go back to 1 Timothy 6 and read verse 6. And read out.
But godliness with content is great gain. But we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out.
So, come on, man. That's self-explanatory. When we came into this world, we were straight up naked, right? So when we leave this world, we're going to be straight up naked. So all these substance and all this money chasing, and the scriptures tell us, fret not because of evildoers. Never mind keeping up with the Joneses and chasing this so-called materialistic world. We can't chase that. And these churches that are set up, teaching that the more and more you get to these pastors, which is ripping you off, they straight up pimps ripping you off, you're giving them your money in hopes to receive a reward of more money later on. You're just fooling yourself, you know, and that is not of God. So God's saying you came into this world with nothing, you're going to leave with nothing. So don't be focused on nothing. Don't be focused on no money. Focus on being instructed by the word of God, so you can have the greater reward, which is eternal life, which is priceless. It's priceless. Okay? Read on. Verse 8.
And having food and remnant, let us therewith
content.
Read it again. And having food and remnant, let us be therewith content.
So, it's still being focused, because the whole focus is on, the focal point is talking about money. Now he's saying, listen, concerning money, listen, be content because you came into this world with nothing, you're going to leave with nothing. On top of that, be thankful you got clothes on your back and food on the table. Just be content with that. Be cool with that. Be just with that. These churches is not teaching that.
Absolutely not.
So why are you in these churches? Because you're being enticed by that demon inside of you, which you have to repent of. Okay, you have to repent. You have to get up out of that church. You have to get up out of that place, because that is not of God, according to what we're reading here. We have to be content with what we have and don't worry about gain, because you already have gain through godliness. Okay, read on.
Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare.
See, the focal point still on money or materialistic gain. It's a trap to be focused on these things. Read on.
But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts.
Right back to lust. Right back to that enticing demon, which is the lust. Now, what is lust again? Going right back, I would not have known lust, Romans 7:7. Right?
Covet. And that's the law said thou shalt not covet.
So covet, going right back to what? Idolatry. It became your idol. That's why these churches is packed the way they are, because all these people are falling to the idolatry of money. That's all. Because these pastors ain't forcing you to do nothing more than what's inside of your lust to be gravitated towards them. It's what's in you that's making you sit in that church or turn on your TV to your special pastor, but it's really that lust inside of you. It ain't the individual that's so high and mighty. It's that lust, that enticing demon inside of you that's fulfilling its purpose. Read on. Read it again, verse 9.
But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare,
mm-hmm.
and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition.
Read.
For the love of money is the root of all evil.
And we hear this saying all the time, and they take it and take it lightly. This is not something to take lightly. Because a lot of people are going to be taken out because of money. A lot of people are not going to make it to the kingdom. That's why the scriptures say, you know, about a rich man not making it into the heaven. You know, it's as a camel going through a needle. I forgot how I was worded, but it's letting you know that a lot of rich men are not going to make it to the kingdom of heaven. Right? According to the scriptures. So why are so many people focused on money all the time?
Because they want that material wealth.
Mm-hmm. Read on, verse 10.
For the love of money is the root of all evil, mm-hmm. which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
So they err through the faith. All right? They don't have faith. You see? They have faith in that demon. They have faith that the more and more they give into their pastor, the more and more they're going to receive a reward. They have faith in that, but they don't have faith in the word of God by removing and withdrawing yourself from such a place like this. Because the scriptures say, withdraw thyself. Is this Bible not the word of God? God's word said, if anyone in this church is teaching that gain is godliness, withdraw yourself. That's having faith in the word of God that I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk up out this place and I'm not coming back. That's having faith in the word of God and not chasing money no more. You're not going to roll in that spirit. I want to move on because we only got a little time. You want to pull out something?
No, you go.
All right. Isaiah 30. No, actually, you know what? No. We're going to sum it up like this. Give me Job 34 real quick. All right. That's how we want to do this. Give me Job 34. You know, I used to always go to this scripture. I'm going to go to this in a minute. Read Job 34 and start at 31. I'm going to read 31 and 32.
Job 34, verse 31.
Mm-hmm.
Surely it is meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement. I will not offend any more. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more.
So everything we talk today, a lot of people out here that may hear this word of God today
mm-hmm.
didn't know no better, but now we brought out the light because you were in darkness. All right? It says, surely it is meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement. I will not offend any more. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. If you are in the form of iniquity, and some of the things that we gave examples according to the scriptures, you have to now repent. You have a chance to repent.
Exactly.
You have a chance to see the error of your ways, because don't you want to be taught when you don't know no better? Shouldn't you be taught the word of God? Because we all don't know everything, brother. Somebody might bring something to our attention, and we have to read the scriptures, and we have to repent of it. So if anyone out here today is guilty of committing idolatry on giving money to your pastor to receive interest and money, and God says anyone that's teaching gain is godliness, withdraw thyself, if you didn't know no better, now is your chance to repent and withdraw yourself from that church. And find a place that is teaching the true repentance and true word of God. If you're that individual that's out there gang-banging and being enticed to hurt other people to receive any rewards or substance, you need to repent and turn to the word of God and have a chance to make it into eternal life, okay? If you're that individual that's out there be taken by the eyes of a beautiful woman to commit such such fornication or adultery, okay, and you didn't know no better and now you do, you have a chance to repent and turn to the Word of God so you can make it into eternal life. And we talked about those out there that's lesbians or gays and or gay men out there that are committing such acts, you know, homosexual acts. You need to repent and turn back to the Word of God. Now, these things we talked about today, and plus some other things we probably mentioned too that I forgot, but this is the focus we're supposed to be focused on according to the Scriptures. You want to pull out something real quick?
Yeah, we can go back to that if you want. I just want to read this real quick. Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha 15, chapter 15, verse 16.
No, we'll go to it. Go ahead and read it. Were you at Ecclesiasticus 15?
Yeah.
All right. Ecclesiasticus 15 and what verse?
Verse 16.
Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 15, verse 16. And it reads, He hath set fire and water before thee. Stretch forth thy hand unto whether thou will. Before man is life and death, and whether him like it shall be given him.
So we have a choice. And we have a choice. It says, verse 16 said, He has set fire and water before thee. Stretch forth thy hand unto whether thou will.
Mm-hmm.
Before man is life and death. And whether him like it shall he give him. So you have a choice. Life is before you, death, fire and water.
Mm-hmm.
If you grab fire, what's going to happen? It's going to burn you.
Exactly.
So you have a choice on what you're going to do. Are you going to choose life or are you going to choose death? Now, within the choice, you also have spirits that's moving you into choosing the death.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when you look at, when we go to Genesis, we always bring out Genesis with Adam and Eve, how Satan moved on Eve to go after death, choose death. You know what I'm saying? So spirits are moving on us.
Mm-hmm.
And enticing us to do the things that are wrong.
Exactly.
But the choice is ours. We have to fight for righteousness. We
mm-hmm.
have to do what's right. All right? Go ahead, read on that.
Oh, more on that? All right. Verse 17. Ecclesiastes 15:17. Before man is life and death, and whether him like it shall be given him. For the wisdom of the Lord is great, and he is mighty in power, and beholdeth all things. And his eyes are upon them that fear him. And he knoweth every work of man.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 20. He hath commanded no man to do wickedly. Neither hath he given any man license to sin.
So we don't have no freedom to sin because people try to say Christ came, I can do what I want to do. No, we don't have license to sin. And Most High is watching and judging everything. And it's our choice to choose righteousness or wickedness. And we have to fight the spirits that's trying to get us to choose wickedness. There's vibrations on us that's trying to get us to choose wickedness. There's things on TV that's trying to entice you to do wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all types of things in this society trying to move you into doing sin. Even on the computer. You're mm-hmm. constantly being enticed to stretch forth your hands into death.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to choose who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the Heavenly Father in Christ and do spiritual things, or are you going to serve mammon?
Exactly. I want to go to one more scripture before we end it. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2 real quick. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is a very edifying, you know, class today, man, even for myself. It's a reality check for all of us. 1 Peter chapter 2, read verse 1.
Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy, and envies, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have taste that the Lord is gracious.
Stop there. So, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So, I kind of want to sum it up with this, you know, I'm going to say it real quick, is that, you know, just like a child, you know, getting that milk, that breast milk from his mother, him or she, the child getting the breast milk for his mother, is that's that lifeline and is giving them that nutrition to grow and become strong.
Mm-hmm.
And they become men and women, grown men and women, even grown men like ourselves. You know, we were once a little baby, right? So now we became strong. So it's the same thing in the spiritual form. This milk is the word of God. And every day we should be growing stronger and becoming better and stronger, becoming growing more mature and becoming men and women and not children. You know, with that, we only got a little bit of time with that. May the Most High in Christ, you know, have mercy upon you and also ourselves through the blood of Christ. And we thank you for joining us. Shalom.
Shalom.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church, you may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Ureach is the letter U, followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thedocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification in repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thedocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.